Hello, everybody, and welcome to Spiritual Successor, a comedy video game design podcast where we take your horrible, nasty, lovely video game ideas from all over the internet and turn them into the next AAA video game titles. I am one of your hosts, Blake Rea.
And I am your other host, AJ Hart. And today I'm bringing it, Blake.
What are you bringing?
I slept in till 7:30 this morning. I went to sleep last night at like 10 o'clock as soon as I came in through the doors.
Wow.
10 o'clock p.m.
Wow.
I wish so I had that. Fucking juiced right now.
Wow, why didn't you open the episode then? I had a horrible fucking night. My cat peed on everything. I got sicky. I'm feeling much better now. By the way, side note thing. This is gonna sound really weird, but okay. I don't take cold medicine. I've just never done it. Since I was a kid.
Because you're better than everyone that doesn't.
Well, not anymore.
you're finally a pathetic weakling that uses cold medicine? Baby.
Now I'm
wah,
old.
Wah, baby, like, cold I'm medicine? Like,
I was at 7-Eleven, and you're also going to judge me. I was buying a Slurpee, even though I'm sick. I had a fever and I wanted something really cold.
So okay, no, that's fair. Yeah, no, this was self-care. You know what? Honestly, whatever story you're about to say, it wasn't the cold medicine. It was the Slurpee.
No. It was just like, I was feeling awful, right? And I'm like, man, I'm starting to feel like my age and like, I have to like actually take care of myself. I can't just like sleep it off. It's like, you need to like, I don't know, eat right, shower, you know.
Yeah, when's the last time you had a vegetable?
I can tell you the last time I had a vegetable green drink.
You know what trips me up is when people hit me with the when's the last time you had a fruit? Because I eat a fuck ton of veggies. I do not remember the last time I had a fruit. I think the last time I had fruit, honest to God, was when so I work at a mall now.
Yeah.
And I get mall freebies. This is something that happens when you work at the mall is you get to engage with the mall community.
Yeah.
And my boy, the shift lead at the Cinnabon, he hooked me up with a box of Cinnabon.
I brought that home.
Well, we're getting there. And I brought that home, and I didn't want Cinnabon at 10:30 at night because I'm a fucking grown-up adult.
Mm.
So I decided to have Cinnabon for breakfast.
Okay.
While I was making the Cinnabon, we had the incredible idea of, why don't we throw some blueberries and raspberries and blackberries on it? So the last time I had fruit was, in fact, with Cinnabon.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Is like I couldn't tell you the last time I had fruit by itself, but like I have fruit mixed into things all the time. Like this morning for breakfast, I had like coconut and Greek yogurt. So technically, I had it this morning, but not like by itself. Maybe I had like an apple at work, but like. I feel like I gotta do more than just sleep good now, which is like a pain in the ass because I have shit to do. I got content to make. I got podcasts to do. I got videos to edit.
Yeah, and you can't do any of that shit sick. You're putting on so much extra work for me.
Hey, you were sick a couple episodes ago, and I put it in. So you
well, that was different. You must understand, Blake. That was when I was sick, which is different.
AJ, what game?
Blake, what are you playing right now?
Oh fuck, you beat me.
I'm faster than you. You gotta be quicker than that.
I finally beat Sekiro. I'm like so happy.
Let's go.
Yeah, I'm like
yes. Tell me everything.
So I'm like I think we were on our break when during this, but I have never beaten a FromSoft game. I just have never been able to. But I finally, the first one I beat was Elden Ring, and it was such a magical, exhilarating experience because it taught me how to actually, like, really enjoy FromSoft games, and it also just had so many other fun elements to it. Like, fuck, if you haven't, by the way, selfish plug here, But if you haven't seen AJ and I play, like, go through, like, the first area of Elden Ring, it's like, one of my favorite videos we've ever made, or one of my favorite Let's Plays we've ever made. It's just the whole time, we're just having a fucking magical time playing Elden Ring, and it was just so good. It was such a wonderful experience.
Elden Ring as a co-op experience truly was incredible.
Fucking rules!
There are
fucking
so
rules.
Many so good reveals and so many, like, locations to discover. One of my favorite moments of that game, honestly, still, is when you and I... went through the college together.
Yeah, college, the Landio, the Lakes or whatever.
Back to Sekiro.
Yes, so, but really quickly, I beat Elden Ring, and that put me on, like, just a huge thing of, like, all right, you know what? I want to beat every FromSoft game now. I played Sekiro for a while. I couldn't really beat it, and it's been a long time since I touched it, so I'm like, you know what, fuck it, why don't I just pick the game up from the beginning, just start it completely over, and see how fast I burn through it. I fucking blazed through it. I got through it, like, my first run through the game, it took me like two, three months to get to where I was. It took me like 2 weeks to get to
that. Easy.
Yeah, it was insane. It was, like, really weird, and it was, like, I just was able to see the game in a completely different way, like, feel the pacing of it, feel, like, I was able to get it in a way that I never did before, and I was able to enjoy it in ways that I never did before, and it was just such an exhilarating, fun experience. Not my favorite story out of the FromSoft games.
I love the story of Sekiro.
The story's good, but, like, I don't know. It wasn't as fantastical or large as, like, Elden Ring. But then
it's
again,
a much
like,
stupider story.
I wouldn't say stupider. It was actually, well, out like, of all the stories, it's more grounded.
It feels like there are reveals and things that happen in it just for the sake of, like, I don't know, it's cool, isn't it? And, like, there's a lot of, like, kind of slapstick humor in that game.
Oh, for example, the monkey fight.
Like, do you know lore-wise why the monkey did that? Like, what happened there?
No. I mean,
So the monkey fight, the legendary monkey fight that many people have talked about.
Are you talking about the folding monkey fight or the...
No. The giant ape.
Oh, the headless, great ape or guardian ape.
The guardian ape. You kill the guardian ape and you cut its head off and then it stands back up again and fights you again.
It's so good. That was like still my side tangent. On my second playthrough, that's still my favorite fight in the whole fucking game. Amazing. But please continue.
It's a good fight. When it stands back up again and fights you again, and then you kill it the second time and it reveals that there's a worm in there, this means that the ape received the worm through the same worm that the monks have worms. And those worms are things that you get for seeking immortality through shitty and bad ways. Mm-hmm. Which means that, the gorilla fight? Yeah, that was just a gorilla seeking immortality.
Yeah.
Why? Fuck you. It doesn't matter. It just did.
I know. That totally makes
sense.
And
I love that. I love that, like, there's just little things in the world that, like, they never actually explain. They're just like, I don't know, gorilla was seeking immortality.
Well, no,
also, there's a knight that you're going to fight, and he's the one dude that speaks English, and he's there for his revenge for his son. Who's his son? I don't know, man. You want to throw him off a cliff?
Okay, yeah, you're right. There are elements of it.
Check this out. These monkeys are all praying to a giant monkey statue. Why are they doing that? Kind of funny, though. And it all culminates in the greatest reveal in video game history, where after, like, in the first half of Sekiro, you are constantly hunting down the Immortal Blade, right? This red shining blade that will give you the ability to kill something that is immortal.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get to the final boss fight, your rival, Genichiro, stands on top of the mountain and he draws a sword. And his sword is also on fire. And with no explanation, no setup, no payoff, it's just, that's right. The second immortal blade.
What, you didn't pick up all the lore and shit? Like, there was like...
Hell no, I don't read shit. At least without reading anything, I understood the lore in the world of... Elden Ring and Dark Souls and Bloodborne. Sekiro, I completely missed all of it. It felt like I was watching, like, professional wrestling. It ruled.
See, I had the complete opposite. All that shit has an answer. You just have to find it in, like, the little trinkets hidden about the world. Like, the second Mortal Blade, you can learn about it, like, I think even before... you get your mortal blade. It's an item, and I remember this. There's an item right next to Ashira's hangout, his little dojo that he hangs out in. If you go out onto the balcony, there's an item you pick up that explains to you that, yeah, there's two mortal blades. There's like a yin and a yang version of it. Like one is the light, one is the dark, but they both like take your life if you draw it. And also the guardian ape, it's really fucking sad. The reason they exist is because, they were trying to find a mate and they were never able to find the reason they were guarding the flower is because they were going to give it to, their mate when they found them. And I am assuming they were looking for immortal life to get more time to find somebody. So they're not fucking alone. It's tragic. It's tragic. It's wild.
And what's the tragic monkey praying? That one level where if you mess up in the platforming, you'll fall down to your death and have to fight 100 monkeys?
Are you talking about the Sunken Valley area?
I just remember there being like 20 monkeys at the foot of a statue all praying to a giant monkey statue.
Yeah.
And you did a bunch of platforming to get around that area. But if you messed up, you would find yourself staring down 20 monkeys.
Nah, dude, I just went and fucked up those monkeys. I didn't try and like
dodge Monkey or Massacre? Me.
Yeah, because you get that sweet monkey sake after you kill all of them. So
nice.
So you can unlock cool shit. Yeah, so I'm just going through all the FromSoft games. I beat Sekiro. Absolutely magical. I'm currently working on Bloodborne right now. I'm like,
When did you start your Bloodborne journey?
I started it like a week ago, and I'm tearing ass through it. I just got done beating up Raum, the vacuous spider. And
yeah,
it's just like...
FromSoft games are easy.
Once you understand like the rhythm and the rhyme of it, yeah, it gets a little bit easier. It's just been fun. It's just nice to come home and like I've had like a really just wild fucking work life recently, so it's nice to just come home and be like I can turn my brain off and like follow the rhythm of a game and I don't have to think so. I mean, not to say that the FromSoft games are vapid or anything like that. They're very deep and they can be very, very, very well thought out and.
But it's nice to turn your brain off and just slam it against something.
Yeah, slam it against like a monster or a boss being like, okay, let me turn off everything except for my ability to recognize patterns and then just react to those patterns and do the dance. And just it's just nice. It's just really – it's just a good – it's just what I need from video games right now. And then as soon as I finish Bloodborne, I don't know.
Are you going to go back to Demon's Souls?
I do have a copy of it, but I think by the time I beat Bloodborne, the DLC for Elden Ring's gonna hit, and I'm like, oh, I'm so ready for it. I'm so ready for it. Shadow of the Erdtree. All right, enough about me. What are you playing?
I have been playing more Ace Attorney, primarily.
Oh, really?
I'm almost done with the first game now. I'm on the fifth case, or the fourth case? I'm on the case centered around Miles Edgeworth.
Oh, that's the last case. Dude, that one's so good.
I'm very excited for it.
That's where shit gets really...
I think Miles Edgeworth is a pathetic worm, and I hate him.
but do you hate him in a bisexual way, or do you, like, hate him as, like, a person?
Okay, here's my honest, like, answer, is that I think that a lot of these detective games have this weird issue, because I noticed a similar thing in Danganronpa,
mm-hmm.
and... they will present to you a rival character, and then they will have that rival character do maybe one of the worst things in the world, and then later on they'll be like, but he's good, actually, and you love him.
Uh-huh.
And I personally have a hard time, like, wrestling with that. Like, yeah.
But you will Miles accept, Edgeworth is but like you the will accept the dude just shows up with a sword on fire and is like, I have the other mortal blade now. That's
yes,
where you
because
draw
I think
the
that's
line?
Funny because I think that stuff's funny. But like in a game like Ace Attorney, where like the core conceit is you, Phoenix Wright, are a defense attorney that is trying to get not only in the second case, not only trying to get your defendant off for a murder that they didn't do yourself, but you're also trying to find out who did the murder of your cool best friend and business partner.
Yeah.
And then this dude fabricates evidence to try to get the person that did kill them off and put you in jail. And you are later told, supposed to be like, look, and there's Miles Edgeworth, and you kind of respect him now. Absolutely not. Because it also does the, like, falls into something where, like, in visual novels, whenever you are told something, you are kind of expected to believe that that is the way that it is regularly.
Yeah.
Until somebody says that this is an outlier. And nobody hangs a lantern to say Miles Edgeworth cheating in a courtroom to get his guilty person off clean is an outlier. We have to assume that he does that regularly, and that's why his track record is perfect.
I don't know.
I have no sympathy for this man.
I think you're asking too much of the genre, because the genre is very much like it's soap opera in that way of like it'll do whatever it wants for the moment that it happens in, and like I feel like each case exists in its own vacuum of like, all right, that was it, and then that doesn't reflect like. You know, the stuff
he cheated and tried to get you to go to jail for it would make him feel good. This has no bearing on his character anymore.
Yeah, this has no bearing on like his character outside of the case.
He got it out of his system.
Yeah,
he's good now.
Well, I mean, or it's not. Maybe that's not the way of thinking about it. Like, look at each court case as like a different like Earth in like the DC comics. It's just shit. Happens.
It's the same Miles Edgeworth still. It is not, you cannot multiverse me on this.
But that's like visual novel logic, man. It's just like, also Ace Attorney is just notorious for that shit where it's just that it'll do batshit whatever. Like fucking in the case you're in right now, like Miles Edgeworth.
No spoilers.
I don't know how far along, how far. Okay, I can say
I've not broken into the first discussion yet. I'm only on like the first discovery phase. I've not broken into the trial.
Okay, I can say this. It won't be spoilery. Miles Edgeworth is not doing dick to help you help him himself. You know, it's
good.
Just,
yeah. No. And like, there are so every many time things. They'll be like, oh, nobody wants to take on his case. And my brain is like, is it because he's a liar and a cheat and he's a worm and he deserves to be locked away? And their answer is like, it's just a too high profile of a case. And I'm like, oh, shut up.
No,
and, like, I don't know if like this is part of the joke is or not.
I think that is the joke, is that he's supposed to be. I think he is written in a way that is, yes, serviceable to like, all right, we don't want to make this too easy. This guy has
made the most despicable man, so much, but he is your best friend.
There's so much shit he can solve with just like being upfront in like the first conversation with him. There's like so many discoveries that can be made if he's just like, oh yeah, that happened. And I'm like, why did you fucking mention that? It's like, well, because it's a game and we got to find it out. I don't know. Visual novels just operate off of a different logic. Like they don't just do things because it's visual novels lack common sense, my friend.
Fair enough.
But you're enjoying it. Are you enjoying the?
Oh, I'm having the time of my life. Like honestly, like as much shit as I sling at Miles Edgeworth, he's a very fun character.
Mm-hmm.
I love all of the, like, everyone in this game is so charming. The sprite work is so good. There's this incredible thing about Gumshoe specifically, who's a reoccurring character, that, like, every time you look at him, he's breathing so heavily.
Yeah.
This man is, like, his whole sprite. Like, everybody has, like, a slight idle animation, right? Mm-hmm. Like, Larry Butts will blink. Mm-hmm. Maya blinks. Phoenix Wright will wiggle his finger. Everyone has like a slight animation to them. I just met a character, Lotta Hart.
Who, yeah.
Like she'll tilt her head and like laugh a little bit to her animations, and it's really charming. And then there's Gumshoe, who is just naturally takes up half the screen. Uh-huh. And then his idle animation is that he breathes really heavily and takes up 2/3 of the screen.
Yeah.
This man is just constantly taking up all the space and then most of the space.
I like to think he's either incredibly stressed all the time or he's just running hot, like, at all times.
He's just always panting.
Yeah, he's just, like, always, like, hey, just,
Phoenix,
like,
it's good to see ya.
Just, like, always on the verge of, like, he's just in calorie burn mode at all times.
It's probably because he's wearing, like, the full detective outfit plus the trench coat. Plus he's a million feet tall in the middle of summer.
He's just overheated in fucking closer to the equator, Japan. Oh, God. That sounds awful.
He's dying in there. He's suffering.
No, I Phoenix Wright, I've watched Let's Plays of the games. I've never played them myself, but I've fucking... adore the dialogue in the Phoenix Wright games. All of them are just so endearing, so charming. Even though, like, the logic is pretty fucking wild and stupid, a lot of the emotional reveals are, like, really good. Like, really, really touching. And, like, all the stuff with Maya is super fun. Like, you become
Maya is kind of, like, wonderful. She's so much fun as a character to run around the world
with. She's just a funny little millennial, dude. She's just like, Phoenix, you don't understand shit, dude. Let me show you how this phone works. Let me show you how the internet works, you fucking boomer. Which is, like, hilarious. I mean, isn't, like... He's not much older than her, which is the funny thing. He's like 22 when the series begins.
Yeah, but he strikes me as like one of those 23-year-olds that like aged like
never got on Discord at an early age. Phoenix Wright, age game one. He's 23 years old in the first game. Jesus, man. And he solves murders. He convicts felons by the age of 23.
He doesn't do convictions, technically speaking.
I mean,
are there Ace Attorney games where you get to play as the prosecution?
I guess you're right. He is a defense attorney. They don't do convictions. But, like, doesn't he flip the coin and find out who the murderer is anyway? So he's like...
Yeah, he's really good at it.
Yeah, so he's like a defense attorney that proves who the actual... the bad
murderer is, yeah.
Yeah, and that's, like, I feel like that is more, I don't know.
It's cool.
It is pretty rad. Phoenix Wright, cool game. Good game.
Blake, I'm sick of talking about cool games that we are playing. Do you want to try to make a video game ourselves?
Yes, do you have a video game idea for me?
I do. Ooh. This submission comes from... Tomja87 at TJGarcia1 on X. Twitter? What are we calling this hell site anymore? The URL says Twitter still.
Yeah. That's my favorite thing. Anytime I log into Twitter or log into X, it's still twitter.com is the URL. And it's just it's like, okay, so you didn't commit.
So we're not really doing this.
Yeah.
We're not really trying to figure it out.
Yeah, you changed the logo. That's all you did. Go fuck yourself.
A Japanese RPG where you're a surgeon operating on patients to defeat and remove parasitic monsters. During your journey, you'll befriend a party of nurses with various powers that will help you on your quest. See, at first I was like, JRPG surgeon thing, we've done that before. Mm-hmm. But then... befriending a party of psychic nurses, is huge.
This is a huge development. You left out one part of the submission, though, and I think I also picked the submission, and because the opening line really got to me. They mentioned that they got sent this idea in a dream. So the reason I mentioned that is like this sounds like a
prophecy.
This is like, okay, so we have a doctor, we have a surgeon or whatever. And they do their regular ass surgeon job, surgeon thing during the day, but when they go home and they go to sleep, this is how they access the levels. So I'm thinking we do like a Catherine-esque shit where there is like you are awake and then you are asleep cycle. So like you do shit.
So you're telling me that when he goes to sleep, he goes to the dream dimension.
Yes,
where he must also be performing surgery.
Yes, but against like parasitic monsters
that he's met. The nurses
in the waking world,
real world,
in the waking world, yes,
are able to then support the dream surgery.
Yes, this is Persona ass like JRPG shit, where it's like you befriend stuff in your day to day life, and then they come and help you during like the big dream world boss fights. But we take kind of like a what's that really good visual novel surgeon game? Is it just surgeon? It was like for the Wii.
The Grey's Anatomy video games?
No. It was like a Wii surgeon game. Trauma Center. Have you seen any gameplay from Trauma Center? That shit
Trauma ruled. Center is the JRPG surgeon simulator I was thinking about.
But it's not a JRPG. It's like more...
It's not?
It's a visual novel that has like surgeon mini games. But it gets pretty fucking crazy by the end of it. There's like... By the end of the game, there's like terrorists infecting people with like... weird nanobots that have special abilities that allow...
Then let's start here then.
Uh-huh.
What mechanics must be in here and included to make this a JRPG? Because I think at first glance with this idea, I'm imagining something that plays just like Trauma Center Under the Knife 2.
I
don't think that you want that.
I think, no, because then we'd just be making Trauma Center. The thing that stands out to me and that I think would be very, very cool is that all of the surgeries are turn-based. So every rep, stick with me.
I'm so here.
So the first action that you take in the surgery is done by whoever is in slot one. Then the following step is done by whoever's in slot two, and so on and so forth. So you need to figure out, like, okay, what is the correct order and the correct party I need to have with me that can do this surgery. Hey, Nurse Cammy, who I met at like the little burger joint that's attached to the hospital, that's like themed to be like a surgeon room, a la Heart Attack. Actually, you don't know Heart Attack Grill. There's a restaurant in Las Vegas that's called Heart Attack Grill. When you walk in, they put a hospital gown on you.
Yeah, they put a hospital gown on you, and then they spank your bottom when you don't eat 15 burgers. I'm aware. You've bragged about being spanked by them multiple times on this podcast.
It's pretty good.
Speaking of, you were in Vegas. Did you get spanked?
No, but I watched other people get spanked. They they held back on me. I saw a woman beat a man to numbness. It was very alarming.
You sound so like slighted when you said that. Like, no, they held back.
I'm happy they held back because I when I saw this poor dad get hit in front of his young innocent children, like I saw him go limp, AJ. I saw him like lose control of his knees. He got hit so hard, and that was the first one.
He lost control of his knees from pain and nothing else. Yeah. That drive home must have sucked.
No, I don't think it was sexual by any means.
There's nothing sexual at all about going to a burger joint where part of the appeal is that a sexy nurse will spank you on the bottom. There's nothing in a place called Sin City. Yeah, there's nothing slightly kind of juiced about that. You're so right.
This whole environment
sounds like the most chaste experience I've ever heard of.
No. I'm saying it wasn't sexual for this man because he was there with his fucking family. I don't think he'd get ran Andy in front of like his two kids that are like age 9 and 10. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's fair.
I like to think he's like, haha,
why are people bringing kids to Vegas?
That is a strange thing, right? I remember
there ain't shit for them to do.
No, I mean there's Circus, but if you hate your kids, you bring them to Circus because that place is awful. But going back to the game. So it is all turn-based. So you need to figure out who to have in your party and where they slot in to best perform. So Cammy, the lady we met at Heart Attack Grill, the lovely little burger joint that's attached to the hospital, she is fucking excellent at doing stitch work. She is like so precise, and she is so good at doing it. We can say somebody's really skilled at it, but what does that mean? Maybe this all of these levels are time-based or dream-based, where you need to finish this surgery before you wake up from the dream. Because the moment you wake up from the dream, guess what? That person, they're just
that
left
person's,
on,
they left they on, died overnight.
Yeah, they left on the they left on the table. So
I propose to you this then? If it's a JRPG and we need to be thinking about like stats and things like that, and nurses, here's the thing about hospitals is there's all sorts of different types of doctors, right?
Yeah.
There's nutritionists.
Yeah, you're right.
There's anesthesiologists. There's people that are in charge of sanitizing.
Yo.
What if these different slot like characters that you're getting aren't like elements in the same way of like this is the armor guy or classes in the same way of like this is the armor guy and this is the sword boy and this is the ninja boy.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, this character is the anesthesiologist.
Yeah.
And so they will be like making the numbers easier or better for each side, right? Like this would be like functionally in any other game a healer or a tank.
Mm.
But you are specifically the anesthesiologist is buffing the numbers for the opponents during this fight or RPG interaction so that you aren't going over anything and killing the patient.
Well, let me hit you with something with this because I think I really want to lean into the dream and waking world cycle. So what if during the day you are performing surgeries that follow the known laws of like physics in our world? So it's like, it is kind of like a trauma center thing where you're doing sewing, you're doing these things, you're training. And then in the dream world, that's where everything kind of becomes looser, where you are, maybe the surgery, you have like two versions of the same surgery. And this is where we can get kind of like into the crazy narrative of like, this person's not healing, even though we've done all of their surgery and like we sewed up all their organs and they're good and they're healthy, but like for some reason they're still not waking up. Well, we got to go into the dream world and figure out what things are affecting them. You go to sleep and you wake up and you find out that those organs, guess what? They got some crazy supernatural shit going on, and you need They got evil bugs, and you need to do some surgery on them. You need to do some fantasy surgery on them. I think that gives us like two. We can do two versions of every surgery, and we can have play with like different mechanics, or like you might want to have a different party, like in the waking world versus the dream world. You know,
like Oh yeah, I see what you mean. No, I think it's important that you slot that it's the same party between the waking world and the asleep world.
Okay, so you figure
because
out
because like, I think that what we're trying to do here more than anything is I want to try to figure out how you create a JRPG system around surgery that is turn-based and has enough systems in place that like you would think about it lot like conceptually and like figure out that puzzle.
I think
I'm onto something of like during the dream surgery, you could be potentially doing enough damage to the bugs in their body to hurt the actual patient. Meaning that if you have an anesthesiologist there, you are able to numb the patient more and reduce how much damage is done to the patient without reducing how much damage is done to the bugs.
So
alternatively, we might then also have to deal with infections, in which case we would need to get a surgeon in there that's like, I don't know, a nutritionist? I don't know how you deal with infections. Pharmacist. You have a pharmacist that's in there, and they're changing the rate at which the disease is eating away at both the bugs and the patient.
Okay.
And then you, the player, are the surgeon that can remove the bug entirely.
So
do you see what I'm thinking here with like the logic puzzle of it, the battle, the gameplay system?
Yeah, you want to.
I just have a hard time imagining how it all visualizes.
I think we're on the money with it already. It's like you have like a party of four or whatever, and you every like chapter begins with like you getting like a chart of figuring out like, okay, here's all the issues that are the known issues we have. But we need to like open them up to find out more or something. You need to pick your party based off of that slot, and then you slot in where you think those characters will go. So it's like you always want the anesthesiologist first because you know they will dampen any of the pain that the others will be working with. And that's not the only thing they can do. It's just like their primary skill, but they can also stitching or, you know, apply certain medications or ointments or do whatever.
Absolutely.
Or maybe the way it works is it's like there's like your assistants and then you are on like a separate track. So it's like you take the first step, then your assistant does the second step, and then it comes back to you as the surgeon to do step three, then step four. So it goes back and forth.
What if the surgeon's the only one that can remove them and everybody there is there just to support? So, like, in the case of the evil bugs that are in there, you are the only one that can kill the bugs.
Yeah.
Everyone else is there to make sure that while you're killing the bugs, you don't kill the patient.
Yeah, I think that's kind of that's why the nurse thing works, is that, or the assistant doctor, you know, like.
There's only one doctor that's meant to hurt the patient. And that is, of course, the surgeon.
Yes, and they are the one with like all the tools and stuff, but all of your abilities come from them. Here's where the JRPG disc comes in for me. I think you need to have items that affect your stack. So basically, I know I built my stack this way for the way I think this surgery needs to go. But it turns out, holy shit, I actually need my person who does stitches up like up two slots right now.
Up two slots. They need better priority.
So let me take this. Let me pop this like ability really quick that allows me to shift the order in which my people the initiative order, I guess, is like the best way of describing this. Like shift the initiative order so that person goes up when I need them to do the best surgery. And I think this should operate off of like a rating system of like how well you did the surgery. And that way that rating contributes to like your level as a doctor in the waking world, which gets you access to bigger and bigger like chapters, missions, story elements. Like, hey, before you get to, well, I mean, that's not really how JRPGs work, huh?
Well, what if you did it this way then? How well you are doing in the surgeries is how impressive all of the nurses think you are, which unlocks all of the like extra bond scenes and things like that.
Oh, that's such a great idea. It's like, hey, you can't unlock the cool date at Heart Attack Grill until you
almost killed a patient 4 times in front of cool karate nurse.
And she's
she doesn't do karate during surgery. She just does karate on
that. And she's
times.
Like super into that. You almost killed people, but brought them back from the brink. It's like, you lean onto the
fact
knife's
that you
edge.
Fumbled it. Oh yeah. That works for her. But
that works.
Secretary nurse hates it.
Yeah. The secretary nurse hates that shit. But like the other nurse who's like, yeah, I want to like see people. I don't want to see people die. I'm a nurse. I want to help people, but I want to see them almost die, and I want to feel the power in my hands of like bringing somebody back from the brink.
And it's cool that you did that. It's cool. Anyway, let's go hang out.
I kind of like that as a nurse. Like, what would you classify it? Chaotic good, I guess.
Nurses are just in it to feel appreciated. That feels mean. That's a mean sentence to say.
I don't know. I think that's fair. Like some people want to do their job so they feel like they contribute to society. That's okay.
I've done everything in my power not to know anything about the medical system by staying out of it entirely. I've failed a couple of times, but I'm doing good so far not being involved.
I feel like out of the last 10 years you and I have known each other, you've had more major surgeries than I. So like...
One...
What? I thought you had a...
It was one time.
It was it was like just your knee. I mean, I had that surgery on my arm, but I don't remember when I had that. I feel like I knew you at that time. The one where they had to like puncture my arm and remove some shit.
Uh-uh.
Really?
No, because wasn't that a baseball thing?
No. That was different. That was that was like when I was a little kid and they had to like remove something from my head.
Yeah.
That
See, I knew fun. About the little kid surgery.
Yeah, no. This is like, I have a sweet scar on my right arm where they did some cool shit. I don't want to describe it live on air because I don't want to gross people out or give them the...
Why don't you give me a video game idea if you don't want to talk about that.
All right. This one comes to us on Twitter from Caleb. Please buy art from my friends Martin. A game where each level is a music video. You have the length of the song to complete a related mission and to do it as stylishly as possible. AJ, as accessible as music and media is now, I am going to argue that music videos are not what they used to be. They used to be a fucking event. They used to be a gigantic release. I used to pay 500 Xbox Live points to buy Fallout Boy music videos for my Xbox, and those days are long gone.
Oh my God. Yeah, I know, right? I forgot about that, dude.
Yeah.
I remember I had one of those things for a Buck Cherry music video on my Xbox because it was a way that I could see boobs.
What?
Yeah, one of the Xbox Live things you could get was a music video for Buck Cherry, and my cousin had it. My cousin is the one that spent the money
It's always the cousin that gives you access to the...
And so he bought the music video for a Buck Cherry song, and it had boobs in it. And we were like, whoa, boobs.
Whoa, boobs.
Whoa, boobs.
But we are...
Yeah, and like we don't have MTV on the radio in the same way. And like directors aren't coming out of music videos in the way that they used to. Like, Yeah, what the fuck? Why are our music videos so weak these days?
It's not that I don't think the music videos are weak. It's just like they are.
We don't celebrate them like we used to.
Because there's so there's a plethora of them now. Like, I think there are definitely examples.
Oh, is your argument that there is too many music videos?
Maybe because it's become so accessible, we are so saturated by them now because, like, maybe that there isn't.
See, my thing is that I think that we don't have a similar way to celebrate them. Like, we don't have MTV music videos on, like, as decoration TV anymore.
Yeah. Also, it's like
furniture TV. That's the word I was looking for.
Maybe because
when I was little, I remember, like, every Saturday we would just turn on MTV and just have furniture music.
Oh, totally.
We weren't listening to the radio. We would just turn on the music videos, and then, like, every now and again we'd look over and be like, whoa, that's a cool music video.
Yeah, look.
And then we'd move on.
Feel Good Inc., the cool animation, you know, from that music video.
Yeah.
I think it is more because it's not that music videos have gotten worse. I don't think that's true. I think they, I mean, we have like, This Is America.
Well, Blake,
like,
it's 2023. Incredible. Everything is, or 2024 now, everything is worse. Period.
Everything's bad now. I disagree. I think art has definitely seen a...
Well, aren't you a ray of sunshine?
Yeah, I want to go against the grain of our millennial culture of, I don't want to be cynical over everything. I think it's because, like, and the reason I brought up the Xbox thing is because there was a time in our world where I had to buy a music video to watch it whenever I wanted. Now I could just go to fucking YouTube right now and watch Fallout Boy's Sugar We're Going Down Swinging on repeat for 24 hours if I so choose.
If you chose.
So I want to do like something involving a music video of that era of like the early 2000s. But one thing that stuck out to me is, are you familiar with like old radio shows or old radio
Like we have a podcast. Yes, I'm familiar with talk radio.
No. Like the old.
Come
like
on,
old,
dude.
No. Shit. No, there was like old adventure radio programs. What they would do is like.
Oh, like the Green Hornet.
Yeah, where they would ask you to be present to help solve that week's mystery, and you would need to use peripherals to do it. What if you had to log in on your game system once a week to do a level that took the length of a music video, and you had to complete that level that week in that music video. But if you didn't complete it by the end of the song, well, guess what? You didn't succeed in that week's weekly. So you have to wait till next week to do a completely new music video that has a completely new level. So I'm trying to think of something like it's like the adventure.
This feels login. Like something you would slap into another game. Like that premise, like a little Bit Brigade challenge feels like something, Bit Brigade being like the video game band that we, video game music band that we saw, where four people would go up on stage and they would play a song and the speedrunner would play the game on the stage as well.
Yeah.
And he would have until the end of the song, presumably, to finish the level.
God,
this feels like something that you would tack into a video game already. Like Fortnite would be like, hey, we're releasing a little platforming level. You get one shot to beat this week, and then we'll change it to a new song next week. It also feels like something that would come out of like a Destiny weekly.
Honestly, part of me is thinking it doesn't have to be. There's this little game console that has been kind of making me rethink like what video games need to be. What is the game called?
Is it the one with the little crank?
Yes, it was the video crank console. What the fuck is that thing called? Playdate. Looking at Playdate and interacting with
Playdate.
Oh my
god,
media,
yeah. Have they made any games for the Playdate since
they've
that like
made
first cycle?
So many. They've made so many.
They made the first like 20 something.
No.
Yeah, learn more about season one games. There's 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 times 3. Quick math.
24.
24 games for the playdate have been made currently. And this was something that they did like last year at some point, saying that, like, hey, we're making 21 or 24 season one games, and eventually there will be a second run of games. But I don't think any news has come out about the second run.
I could have swore they made more. I could have swore that there were, like, more games on it than 24. But still, 24 games, like, that's a big deal. It's like
that's a lot of games.
That's a game every other week. That's pretty outstanding. Actually, you know what? I would argue the Playdate has more console exclusives than modern Xbox.
You know what? It's a close fight.
So, but it's kind of made me rethink, like, it's okay to make a micro game. And I think there is a desire for stuff like that, especially in the world where modern video games, or just modern media, for fuck's sake, is like, how can we get the user to engage with our shit as long as possible? And that is just, like, I think, an intrinsic problem of modern media. So that's why stuff like the Playdate is kind of cool, because it's like, hey, here's, like, a game that's just, like, it's just small and it's micro. And then you play it, and then that's it. And that's done. I mean, but I guess if you were to, like, zoom out, it's like the idea of, like, releasing a game every other week is, like, how can we get people to play with our Playdate as long as possible? Or engage with our Playdate as long as possible. I don't know. It's everything's a fucking contradiction.
Everything wants our time at all times.
Everything wants our time at all times, regardless of how they fucking portray it. But, like, I don't know. I just think there's a desire by modern audiences to be like, hey, I don't want a game that takes a fucking 100 hours. Just give me something that's, like, I can just chew on for, like, 30 seconds, a minute, and then just... I feel that little
I don't know. I mean, we already have TikTok. I don't want TikTok of games.
You don't want TikTok the video game?
Oh my god, TikTok of games. Wario would love that.
Holy shit. What if... Okay, screw what I said, because I was going into moral to ethical video game design. This is a podcast where it's about cool games that should not be made. What if we integrated a game system into TikTok that is on it and for the last 3 months of its life?
Oh my god, dude. Oh yeah, that's right. TikTok, the TikTok ban. I'm going to look into that. That's crazy. Yes. So something that I think about really regularly is, like, while going through TikTok, I always see those, like, those little games. So, like, you'll see people that are doing, like, those game filter games. Mm-hmm. And, like, I almost always fall prey of doing those myself, but then I don't, because it would take me, like, 4 clicks to be in the little game doing it myself. Filter? But if I just swiped and it was like, swipe, here's a Flappy Bird clone, I would play that really quick and then swipe again. Honestly, I would absolutely dump so much time into TikTok for video games. I would be so enriched.
Where it's like, instead of swiping, you turn... Like, okay, maybe this is one game out of our new system where it's like, you swipe and it's a game that either we, the company, made, or it's a game that somebody else made.
But again, a micro game like Wario once.
Yes, yes.
That was made with, that you could do within, like,
holy shit, a minute and a half. Yeah, no, and it's like a whole website that is just dedicated to people's, like, weird little creations. Or, like, weird little updates, and you're
just... Oh my god, there'd be no more people trying to send me... You're like, no more people on TikTok being like, check this out, let me tell you about the secret menu from Taco Bell. Motherfucker, find your group chat. We all know about the Taco Bell secret menu.
Yeah, TikTok's
but we'd instead TikTok's be like, hey, check this out. Try Flappy Bird again.
Try
Flappy Bird again.
No, let me get
you know what this would also do for me, which I would love? Mm. Is, like, I wouldn't be seeing those stupid ads for those, like, little shooter games that doesn't exist. I would be swiping, and then I would be playing the little shooter game that doesn't exist for one round.
Yeah.
Oh my god, that'd be so satisfying. I would never leave this stupid app.
And then, bro, like, guess what? And then, like, the moment you die, guess what? You gotta swipe.
I just go to the next game.
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, everything has, like, a leaderboard or something that you can go to. And it's like, if a game is really popular, you can always just search it like you can, like, a TikTok. It's like, oh, what's that TikTok? It's like, she came down in a bubble, dog. I want to watch that clip really quick. You go, you search it, you find the original posting. Actually, I think that was Vine. I don't know. The world's fucking wild. I don't use TikTok.
What are we going to call TikTok for video games? This rules. Because, like, you know how many people are just going to remake the WarioWare games? That's awesome. I love that little enrichment activity for me. So many people are just going to recreate, like, really bad Mario levels that you can finish in, like, 3 minutes.
My first... dumb that we can't use this, but I just want to say it because I realize how dumb it is. Is like, oh yeah, instead of TikTok, let's just call it Click Clock. I'm like, no, you're stupid. Stupid. Gibbs, stop. You're a fucking nuisance right now. All right, we'll think about title in a minute. Let's discuss some more games. So here's
we got time for another games?
Yeah, we got 10 minutes. Yeah.
Excellent.
Not other game submissions. I want to talk other games for this platform.
Oh, other games for this platform, of course. So we have
this music video idea. The music video comes up. That's obviously a rhythm game. It's like you got to drag your finger. Like, oh, you got to... I forget what fucking arcade game that is where you have to toggle the joystick to where you stay on the rail of the rhythm.
I know the one you're talking about.
It's always at the Japanese arcades we go to, where they have a lot of Miku Hatsune and other Vocaloid style stuff. That's one of the games. That's the music video game. And
I would love some Cut the Rope clones in there. That would be really satisfying. Just some of the high level Cut the Rope challenges.
Yes, dude, Cut the Rope. Like that was my fucking jam.
Maybe some neighborhood UFO games. That would be pretty cool to see.
Neighborhood UFO? What's that?
Neighborhood UFO is a mobile game that I picked up. I think that was the name of it. Neighborhood UFO.
Mm-hmm.
Game?
Mm-hmm.
Ah, man, I don't remember the name of it. It was a little mobile game that I was playing for a little bit where you just play a little UFO and you're just picking stuff up and trying to stack it correctly. Oh, it was cute. Infinitely charming.
Oh, okay. So it's like a Tetris combined with a moving out sort of thing where you're just I like that. Oh, so it's like you swipe right and then you get shown an empty screen with a little UFO guy and he's like, "All right, pack all of the pack all these items into
part-time UFO."
Part-time UFO. That's cute. That's a cute little idea.
Yeah, you're a little UFO guy with a little grabber hand. It's really good.
All right.
I think there's a Switch port, it looks like. That's cool.
So for one more game, I think, cuz the thing that makes TikTok so successful is that it's like you tag other people and you start trends. So what I'm thinking is there needs to be some game that allows you to interact with other people. I think everything will have a high score mechanic so you can see who's the most successful.
But you want some Pongs in there. You want some 3 minute rounds of Pong.
Oh, it's like if you swipe right onto one game and somebody else swipes right onto that same game, you are randomly paired with somebody.
Oh, you're imagining this as a little TikTok. See, when I said swipe, I was imagining swiping up in TikTok scrolling. Are you imagining a UI that's more Tinder-y?
I think that would be kind of cool because then you can this game's good, this game's bad.
That's a really good system. You're right. That's a good way to and dislike stuff.
Yes, yes. But what I'm thinking is if you and I are both on this app at the same time and we both swipe right onto a new game, that game can then pair you and I as the opposite side. So it's a game of Pong, but it's you versus I. So it's TikTok with a live element of I'm playing a game against somebody in the real world. And then maybe there's it'd be super funny. What if anytime you finish that game, winner can send a video message to the other person. So that's where you start getting some of the TikTok-y video elements of this is what this guy did when he won a game of our Pong or our dumb Pong clone, something like that. So it's and then what you can do then is you can see the chat of when you swipe onto a new game after you play the game or even before you start the game, you can scroll down and see what people are saying about that game or suggesting about it or what video messages they made in relation to that game or after they won or after they lost or some shit like that. my next thought is how cool would it be to make a game that is like kind of a pyramid scheme where it's like, hey, it's cookie clicker, but like every person you recommend or any person you recommend this game to that starts, that plays around of it, it enriches your cookie clicker thing.
I think that is too complex for these kinds of games. I want these games to be completely locked into
like self-contained, like, and...
self-contained 3 minutes. You move on to the next game. Okay. I want this to be, again, I can't stress enough, the TikTokification of video games. Mm-hmm. I want to realize Wario's dream.
Mm-hmm.
So then how do we make money?
How do we make money?
Ads? Do we just put in ads for, like, hold on, this could actually be cool for the video game world, is if people were then getting, like, 3 minute little slices of real video games. Mm-hmm. And so, like, we got to be like, all right, you be Capcom. You could give us a 3 minute slice of what it feels like to just change gear in Monster Hunter. Obviously, you're not playing Monster Hunter, the game. Uh-huh. But you could get a little vertical slice of what it's like to change the gear. So give us $1 billion and we'll run an ad in here. Mm-hmm. Oh, hey, Doritos, do you want a game? Yeah, we'll do a little 3 minute slice of the Doritos Dino Dash, but that's going to cost you $4 billion.
Yeah, it's like, hey, we'll design the game for you, but it that integrates a product of some kind. And then that, holy shit, this is like, and people would actually want to engage with that. And it's not like,
we're
putting
game jobs back in the video game industry ourselves. I'm very sorry about all of the jobs that have been lost recently. That sucks mm-hmm. shit. Mm-hmm. But don't worry, we're making, we've got
See, and this is kind of, this is kind of cool as shit because unlike the like the real video game industry where it's like you work at a game company for 2 years to make one game and then it's like, all right, am I still working at this game company or am I at another one?
Yeah, you could just come do gig work for us.
Yeah, this is just like, this is where like somebody who's never designed who wants to get into
this
game
is
design,
Uber for video games.
Or it's like somebody who gets to cut their teeth and start their video game career. It's like, yeah, I made like, I was the game director on that like little fucking
I was the dude that directed this 3 minute game.
This 3 minute game. And like, but
honestly, this is also a really good way. This could be a really cool way for Game Jam games to be like experienced by more people in mass.
Yes, yes.
I'm coming around on TikTok for video games. TikTok Wario video might have been right.
Like little micro games. I was thinking in terms of a name, GG Micro. Or like something GG. Because that kind of has that TikTok-y...
Can I hit you with Micro GG?
Micro GG? Micro good game?
I don't know. GG Micro is really good. I actually think you're right. GG Micro is
excellent.
Yeah,
it's like good game micro. Good game micro? I think
no, because people would just call the app GG.
Yeah, GG. Hey, are you on GG? What's GG? Oh, dude.
You don't know about GG?
It's got this place that has really good games on it.
Duh. Oh, dude, that's it. That's the game. That's
GG.
The app. It's GG.
GG. Is there like some sort of little asterisk we should do on the end of that? Like GG.
Is
like,
there a little? We could come up with a catchphrase.
A social media platform or like a game.
Because like TikTok has a catchphrase. If you go to TikTok, it says TikTok make your day. What do you
I've
want? The
never
the...
heard that before. What?
I don't know. That's what it comes up right now. Google TikTok.
TikTok make your day.
No, don't Google TikTok make your day. Just Google TikTok, because the first thing that comes up is TikTok make your day.
No, the other one I see is trends start here.
Oh, is that that one I've heard before.
Yeah, that one I have heard before. The other one, I'm like, I have no fucking clue. Biden signs TikTok ban bill into law.
Yeah, no, that's happening, dude. Nine months for TikTok to divest. I need to do some more reading to figure out exactly like how big of a deal this is, but it's interesting.
Wow, they really don't want TikTok in the United States.
They have something to talk about. Yeah, they don't like the idea of like a foreign company having all of the information that they are fine with Facebook and Google having.
Which is strange.
Honestly, that's all they want. If I remember correctly, they want them to divest and have there be like an American sector of the company. Again, I need to look into this a lot more.
No, they want
this could be big. This could be nothing.
My understanding is they want like there to be a full disclosure, and so it's either that they sell the company completely or they have an American branch of it that has access to everything and anything, which is might as well as you just sell the company entirely, because it's like now the government will have full access to what you do. Either way, too serious of a discussion for a dumb video game podcast. GG, excellent. What's our nug this
week?
What's
the catchphrase?
GG. I mean, where games are made, or where
games are made. Could I hit you with it's game time?
It's game time is a little bit too cheesy for me, admittedly. But
it's too cheesy, huh?
It's too cheesy, but I don't have a supplement or a replacement.
Then I'm sending it. I get to name the podcast. GG, right. It's game time.
GG, it's game time.
Blake, that's an episode. Ready to go to patch notes?
No, I'm not ready to go to patch notes. There has to be something better. Like,
Blake, we're wasting a lot of time just because you don't like it's game time.
All right. Begrudgingly, that's working title for me. GG, it's game time.
GG, it's game time. That's a game.
All right, that's a
game. It's a million games. It's an ever-evolving games format.
The idea of, like, an accessible platform.
Let's go to patch notes.
Yes, if we don't go to patch notes, I'm going to keep talking about how much I love this game.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Patch Notes. Blake and I have one mission for you this week. Go show your friends this podcast episode. Ooh. I honestly believe that Blake and I were firing on all cylinders this week. We came, we saw, we conquered, we gamed. Show them this one. This one specifically.
Ooh.
And if you are a friend that has been shown this, hey, what's up? I'm sure you liked it. I'm sure you loved it, even. You're welcome.
All right, that's going to do it for... All right, that's going to do it for us this week. We hope you had a good time.
As always, the intro and outro music is Cheap Shot by Anna Monoguchi, an excellent song from an excellent band for an excellent game. I've been your host, AJ Hart.
And I have been your other host, Blake Rea.
This has been Spiritual Successor, and these are cool games
that should not be made.